Morning. Welcome to the Bible Baptist Hour. Pastor Heaton with you. Bible Baptist Church is located in Lupton on the east side of the road, so no matter which way you come in, you can find us. Our service time is 9:45 for Sunday school, 11 o'clock the morning service, 6 o'clock the evening service. Thursday night is our midweek, and that's at 7 o'clock. Youth time for the teenagers, Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And for the younger group, Thursday night at 7 o'clock. We're starting a new sermon today entitled, Are You Sure You're Saved? Good question. A lot of people need to check that out. Sometimes they signed a card or they went to some class or they said a pledge or whatever they did. They thought they got saved, but not according to the Bible. So we hope that that'll be helpful to you. Are you sure you're saved? We'll be in 2 Timothy 1, verse 1. We'll read some verses. So you might want to join us. Our song today is by my good friend now in heaven, Harold Leek. And Harold's going to sing this song, I'm S-A-V-E-D. And I hope that you can sing along with him. And I hope that you can say amen to that, that you are saved and on your way to heaven. All right, let's get in with the song and then to the sermon.
F-G-L-O-R-Y to know that I'm S-A-V-E-D. I'm H-A-P-P-Y because I'm F-R-E-E. I once was B-O-U-N-D with the chains of S-I-N. It's V-I-C-T-O-R-Y to know Christ lives within. I know some members of the church as lazy as can be. On Sunday morning they will lay at home in B-E-D. Then Sunday night they claim that they must get R-E-S-T. But still they have the nerve to say they're S-A-V-E-D. I've seen some boys rear back and puff their S-M-O-K-E, while others chew and spit their filthy J-U-I-C-E. They play their cards and drink their beer and shoot D-I-C-E, but still they have the brass to say they're S-A-V-E-D. I know some folks that God has blessed with a real good J-O-B, a salary and a regular I-N-C-O-M-E. But still they never give the Lord his T-I-T-H-E. But still they've got the nerve to say they're S-A-V-E-D. It's G-L-O-R-Y to know that I'm S-A-V-E-D. I'm H-A-P-P-Y because I'm F-R-E-E. I once was B-O-U-N-D with the chains of S-I-N. It's V-I-C-T-O-R-Y to know Christ lives within. I know a man who struts around this T-O-W-N. He drinks his beer and whiskey and serves his G-I-N. He helps to put the poison in his neighbor's C-U-P. And still he's got the nerve to say he's S-A-V-E-D. I know some girls who go to church and act N-I-C-E. You'd think that they would want to dress as modest as could be. But they wear their skirts in the latest style, cut S-H-O-R-T. And still they have the brass to say they're S-A-V-E-D. Some folks jump up and down all night at a D-A-N-C-E. Some go to parties every week and drink W-I-N-E. Still others go to church to show off a brand new H-A-T. And still they have the nerve to say they're S-A-V-E-D. Well, if G-L-O-R-Y to know that I'm S-A-V-E-D. I'm H-A-P-P-Y because I'm F-R-E-E. I once was B-O-U-N-D with the chains of S-I-N. It's V-I-C-T-O-R-Y to know Christ lives within.
2 Timothy chapter 1 this morning. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that is in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm not so sure about the sound mind sometimes, but be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he's given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the former sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. The good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Something you do. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. That's really how it's pronounced in mine anyways. For he oft refreshes me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. And the Lord granted to him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. The choir just sang about those wonderful words. And Lord, this book is full of the wonderful words of life. We thank you for that. Now, Father, as we prepare to look into the Word of God today on a subject that I'm sure will be familiar to the congregation, might it not be so familiar that we miss what you have for us in it? Please guide this preacher's lips and his thoughts this morning, I pray. If there should be one person without Jesus Christ as their Savior today, might this be the day. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 9, he says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I wanted to talk to you a while this morning about are you sure you are saved? Are you sure you are saved? This morning, is it hitting my coat? Okay, we'll give it one more. No, turn it back on. We'll give it a chance. If it fails, I'll turn it off to say some words and then turn it back on. You've been there, Don? Okay. This morning for Sunday school, Jeremy led you in a course, some of you. It is entitled, It's a Grand Thing to be Saved. And I'll be honest with you, you couldn't have convinced me by what I heard. And I'm really not sure that you convinced me while you were singing the hymns this morning that you're saved. I've had 14 prisoners do a better job than that without instruments. Brother Dan led you in the song, He Lifted Me. And I looked out here this morning as you were singing, He Lifted Me, and wondered just exactly what in the world it was He lifted you from. Okay. I suppose there are about as many ways of salvation today as there are people on the earth. Or at least it seems that way to me. You hear about people getting saved, and then you see absolutely no evidence of that blessed event in their life. I'm not going to try to talk you out of your salvation this morning, because if you're saved, I couldn't talk you out of it anyways. But if there's one shred of doubt in your mind, then it's a good sign you never got saved. Paul said it right up here in verse 12. For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that. First John. No, all the way through the book. If you don't know you're saved, then you're not saved. Why? You can't have something like that happen to you and not know about it. I know there are folks today pretending to be saved. The reason I know that is because Matthew chapter 7, which we'll talk about later, tells me there will be folks in that day who profess, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful things in the name, cast out devils and stuff like that? He said, yeah, you did, but depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. This week I was talking to an evangelist friend of mine, and we were just, you know, the usual chit-chat preachers have, and he said, I guess you can tell from churches you go to how this thing's going downhill. And he said, preacher, every week, every church I'm in, every one of them, I get a new story. He said, and he didn't tell me the necessary place, but he told me he was in a church, and he said, the preacher was telling about this family in his church, husband and wife, three children. She left him for another woman, or for a woman, I should say. The woman that she left him for decided she liked this woman's husband. So now they're living together, and they want to be members of the church. And the people and the pastor really didn't see a problem there, because after all, she is saved. Now, I have a little problem here. I'm sorry. I have a problem here. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. And I'm going to show you in the Bible here this morning. Something's wrong. It's sad the day we live in where sin has now got a new label on it. Put a new label on it. I'm sorry, I'm not from the modern prophets college. I'm from the old school, believe sin is sin. You can paint it whatever color you want it. You can put a new title on it, but it's still sin. You can call it living together, and the Bible is called fornication. Call it whatever you want, but it's wrong. And it makes me wonder about what's going on in all these people's lives who say they got saved. The Apostle Paul wrote this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Does that say anything to you? Why is it that a verse like that is ignored by this world? Why is it that many preachers today won't even talk about it? Why is it today that Christians, when you say something like that, they go, you're judging. I didn't write the verse. God gave it to the Apostle Paul on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, and he put it in that book, and he said, if you're saved, something's happened to you that should change you. Now, listen, will you let me introduce the sermon first? Before you bring judgment on what's going here, just listen. If you do nothing else, Americans are so judgmental, they hear one statement, make a judgment. Would you just listen a while? You might find you don't know it all. The usual reply to that kind of stuff is, well, everybody's not like you. Well, that's something to be thankful for. Nothing else. That's something to be thankful for. I know everybody's not like me. Everybody can't be perfect. Bob, what are you smiling about? I'll get you tomorrow morning. Some people say, well, they just never had any church upbringing. I can understand that. But I want to tell you something. If the same Holy Ghost of God got in you that got in me, then somewhere along the line, that stuff's going to bother you. Now, do you think the Holy Ghost hates sin? Huh? Do you believe that? You believe that the Holy Ghost of God hates sin? Then tell me something. If you have the Holy Ghost of God living inside of you, how can you sin? I don't care what you're doing. How can you sin and it not bother you? How can you sin and not want to do something about it? Well, you say, preacher, people get hard. We're not there. Just give me time to get there, okay? I understand what goes on in the life of Christians. I know. I read the book. You read it? But I know there's some verses that mark it out clear and plain that when you get saved, something's supposed to happen to you. Mr. Mueller, God bless his heart, he's in heaven now. Mr. Mueller got saved when he was 72 years old. And Mr. Mueller said to me one time, he used to be up at the church in Lewiston when Brother Crone was there. And he said to me one time, he came over to me, he said, Brother Paul, he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, I lived 72 years for the devil. And he said, I'll tell you what, by God's grace, whatever time I've got left, I'm going to live every day for the Lord. And he said, I made a deal with God. He said, I told God that as long as there was a nail driver on this church, he let me live. And then he got this little German smile across his face, and he said, you know what I did? And I said, what? He said, I went around here and pounded nails in the wall and left them out about that far. And I want to tell you something. That old man was faithful to church. He was faithful to giving. He was faithful to do what he could for whatever years he had left. I don't know how old he was, 90 or something like that. Maybe when he died, 80 something. I don't remember. He was up in the home there, and I just don't recall the years. But he probably lived at least another dozen years or more after that. You know why? Because at 72, when he got saved, something changed inside of him. You're going to tell me the man who lives 72 years on this earth and serves the devil, you're going to tell me that he can't change, and yet you get saved when you're 13 and you can't? You're going to tell me somebody who lived 72 years for the devil changed, and you live 35 and got saved and you can't? You're going to blame it on the mom and daddy didn't take you to church? They say, preacher, you're bothering me. Good. Good. At least I'll earn my money this week. You know, every disciple that followed the Lord had a change of life. No, he wasn't perfect, but he had a change. James wrote, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is. The Apostle John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, either those verses are correct or this King James Bible is no good, and let's go have a beer party. You with me? I mean, on the beer party. The book's right? Is the book right? Well, then there's some folks I have to say right now, I don't know if they're saved. You said just because of something they did? No, because of some things they don't do. Not the things you did. Why? Because you're a sinner and you're going to do things wrong. And I can just point around this room tonight or today and just point out a bunch of y'all sinners. I know that this week some of y'all lied. I know that some of y'all been dishonest this week. I know that some of you swore. There's a lie in the same place there. Father, forgive him. Yeah. I hope he asked for it when he did. Now, folks, in all seriousness, either this book is faulty or we got a problem. You're saying, well, you're just telling me I got to be perfect. I'm not going to tell you anything, but this book tells you. Oh, smile, it's not over. Paul wrote this, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. I'm reading the book to you here. prove your own self. Prove your own self. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate? You know what he said? He said, some of y'all better check yourself out. You might be a reprobate. God might not even be inside of you in the first place. You're just thinking of that. You say, preacher, you're scaring me. Well, then listen a while. If you're saved this morning, you ought to be saying, well, amen, praise God, it's about time to preach something decent. If you're saved this morning, you ought to be, this is nothing else, this is just a checkup. You come to Dr. Heaton for a checkup. Amen, you're going to go here to the great physician for a checkup. And if you're not saved, this is a good time to get saved and know you're saved. There are two types of people in every church. I actually know there's three, but I'm going to give you the two. Just listen to me a second. There are those saints, and there's the carnal folks, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul said, some of you are carnal, even babes. I can't speak to you unless I give you little milky dilkies. I've got to... got to warm your milk up for you and cuddle you and say, here you go. Now, don't want to hurt your feelings any. Sucky, sucky, sucky. He said, some of you are spiritual. I hand you a ham and you say, preach on. And then we all know that the third type of person, not necessarily in the church, is that flesh person that's lost. Although we know some of them go to church. So you're one of two categories, if not three this morning. You're either a spiritual person who says, you know, I want to try to live for God. I want to try to do what's right. I know I fail. I want to try to do what's right. Or you're a carnal person who says, you're just nitpicking. You just think you're perfect. Nobody else is. And I'll just tell you what you think. You think, you think, you think. The problem is you don't think. If you quit worrying about what I think and you start thinking. And then the third person is that lost person that said, you don't have a clue what I'm talking about this morning, but you're glad I'm telling them. Now let's examine 50 or 60 things here this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is the question, and this may be all wrong, okay? Maybe I'm not doing this right. I'm not really sure how to do this, so I'm just going to do it the best I know how. First question is, what did your salvation cost? Now, no one answer that till you hear everything. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. For you are bought with a price. For you are bought with a... Chapter 7, verse 23. You are bought with a... Do you realize that within 20 verses, you just read the same thing again? Within 20 verses. You know what? As saints, we take this thing pretty lightly. Jesus Christ paid for your salvation.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Baptist Hour. It is our prayer that our message today will be helpful to your growth as a saved person. If you are not saved, you can be saved today by asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Let us know you listen by writing to the Bible Baptist Hour, 3338 Main Street, Lupton, Michigan, 48635. Join us again next week for a new message.